Well, welcome to a new thing. And it's exciting to be a part of a new thing. We've got a lot to celebrate. You from Northgate, we celebrate you and the way that you started off here. And I actually, when I first came to seminary, the first church that Charlene and I attended was Northgate. And at that time, didn't have pews. It was those metal chairs. You can thank God those metal chairs are downstairs. But anyway, we came here, and not only that, I started working with Royal Ambassadors. Most of you don't even know what that is, but it's working with boys and Royal Ambassadors. I started doing that right here. So now I've come full service. I'm full circle. I'm back home, and I'm glad to be here. And this is sort of a God thing, we think. So we've got a lot of history there to celebrate. Got a lot of history with Briarcliff, Roger. And celebrating how God would take four and multiply that, and for just the handful that was there when I had the privilege to start, and to see that in 3 years, we were located, first of all, in a storefront right across from Jose Pepper's. And it wasn't Jose Pepper's then, or it had been very difficult for me to move from there, because you know I love Mexican food. But anyway, I wasn't tempted in that. But anyway, we made our move from there to our location that we've been in. But what we want to talk about today is not, we want to celebrate the past, but what we're going to focus on today is what God has in mind for us in the future. God has a tremendous vision for this church. I'm convinced of that, as convinced I can be. God has a great vision for this church. But you know something? He has a great vision for your life. He has a great vision. There's not a soul here this morning, but he has a tremendous vision for your life. I don't know how many times that I've taken the words of Isaiah as God was making a promise to them about the vision that he had for those people. And as I've looked at that, I've thought, the God that gave them that vision is the same God that gives us vision today. And we read a moment ago those two verses from Isaiah. Israel had fallen into the hands of Babylon. It looked like it was all over for them. It was a gloomy day for them. And then God came through the prophet Isaiah, and he said, it's not over. I'm going to bring you back home. And that seemed to them to be absolutely impossible, but he had a vision for those people. Now, the vision was even greater than what they looked at in the past. But there's always the warning here of God's vision. You can miss it. You can miss it. It's very easy to let God's vision float on by. And so there's a warning along with this challenge of vision. So let's look at the verse, and we're going to drill down on these two verses. The first one, he says, forget the former things. Why did he say that? What former things? Well, if you look at the two verses before that, the former things was this God that they worship, this God that we worship, this God that has brought all of this together. This God is the God that he divided the Red Sea, and the people went across into that new land. He is the God that took them through the wilderness. He's the God that took them into the promised land in all the battles. That same God is a God that has a vision for your life. He's the same God that gives vision for us today, and he's the same God that has a vision for us here at this church, Briarcliff, at Northgate Campus. That is the God that is always having a vision for it, but it's always tempting for us to want to go back and celebrate past victories, and we will celebrate those, but we cannot live there. We cannot hang on. And those people were, they'd always look back and say, oh, look what God did. He divided the Red Sea. He brought deliverance. I want you to know that God is still in the deliverance business. God still does the same thing that he did for Israel. He wants to do for this church, and he wants to do also for you. But it's tempting to go back and look at those past. But here's what I want you to notice. What Isaiah was saying from the Word of God is that you think that was a great thing for him to divide the Red Sea? Do you think it was a great thing for him to deliver you? Hang on, because you've not seen anything yet. God has a lot more in store. See, we look back at the past and say, oh, those were great days. I want you to know, yeah, we've got great days behind us, but the greatest days are yet to come. and all of what God wants to do. So we'll celebrate. We'll look forward to the future. There's also a temptation to hang on to the hurts of the past. Have you ever been hurt in church? Some of you are looking so pious. You know you have. If you've been in church, you've been hurt. There's all kinds of hurt in the world, and sometimes is hurt. You know what we say around here a lot? Let me just see if you remember it. Briarcliff is a place where everyone is welcome. Nobody's perfect. Anything is possible. Well, I can see right now we need to work on that a little bit more. You've lost that. So Briarcliff is a place where okay, we're not a perfect people. Not a single one of us. Not a single one of you out there. Just me up here. But no, we're none of us perfect. And because we're fallen people, there will be hurt. Some of you carrying a lot of hurt from your family. Some of you carrying a lot of hurt from your work. Some of you carrying a lot of hurt from your neighbor. Hurt fills this world because it's a fallen, broken world. And it's very difficult to let go. But there's not the healing from God until you let go. But this same God, keep this in mind, the same God that divided the Red Sea, the same God that delivered them from bondage is the same God that can deliver you from your hurt. Let go. Let go. Don't hang on to the past. Revenge will never gain you anything. Trying to get even will never gain you anything. And you have to let go so you can take hold of that which God has ready for you in the future. Then he goes on to say, forget the former things. But then he says, do not dwell in the past. Do not dwell in the past. I love what Henry Blackaby said. He said, you cannot stay the way you are and go with God. How many of you want to go with God? How many of you are excited about going with God? You cannot stay the way you are now. Are you willing to go with God? Because you cannot stay the way you are now. No one can ever move ahead. If you're here and you've never made claims to trust Jesus as your Savior, that starts with repentance. It's a change. And God will continue to change your life. You cannot go with God as an addition onto your life. The only way you can go with God is to release your life to Him and get ready for a lifelong change in your life. Some of you have been a follower of Christ for a number of years. But for some reason, you've gotten comfortable and no longer change is taking place in your life. Why is it that we don't like to change? Why is it we don't like to let go? Why is it? Because it's comfortable. All of us are always, our goal in life is to get comfortable. How many of you have a goal in life to be uncomfortable? But if you're going to follow Jesus, He's always going to be moving you outside of your comfort zone. Are you ready to be moved outside of your comfort zone? That's what it means in following Christ. He'll always be moving us. It's moving us outside of our comfort zone to let go and move ahead. I'm sorry to say that I many times have resisted that. I've resisted when God is tugging at my heart. Roger, when I came and looked around the Briarcliff area, it was a hot, hot, hot August day. And I walked around and I sweat and looked around and I thought, God, this cannot be what you have in store for me. This can't be. And the more I looked around, the more that God began to do something and stirring inside of me. Vernon, are you going to just settle down to be comfortable? Or are you willing to take a challenge? And God got a hold of me. Because I was resisting. I did not want to come to Briarcliff. But I stand here today and think, look what I would have missed. Look what I would have missed. And so, the thing that, and I've told you this before, probably the main reason why I took this on was more for me than for you. Because I knew I needed a challenge, or I would get comfortable and miss what God had for me. And I would have missed this. I would have missed this. What are you going to miss if you don't step outside of your comfort zone and say, okay, God, I will move ahead. Now, once you go on down to verse 19, he says, I'm doing a new thing. Notice the word doing. He's not talking about I did, because he did, and he's not talking about the future. He's talking about right now. I am doing a new thing. I am doing a new thing. What is the new thing that he's doing here? Well, you're seeing it right here, one thing. This is a new thing. This is a new thing that God has brought us together. It's a new thing that God is wanting to do in the future. We had a prayer retreat. We have a prayer retreat four times a year. We so believe that the only way that we'll know vision, it comes from God. It's not a human effort. It's not human ingenuity. It comes from God. It comes from daily, daily, daily spending time in His Word and praying and letting Him speak to us. So one of the questions I asked at the prayer retreat is, what do you think God wants this church to look like in a year? And then I cautioned him and said, now we're not interested in the least what you think it ought to look like or what I think it ought to look like. We're not interested in that. The only thing we're interested in is what's God's vision for this church. And you know the response that kept coming back from you all? It had an essence to say, we're going to impact this community. We're going to take ministries that will make a difference in the days ahead. We're going to reach out. We are going to do something significant for the glory of God. A new thing. A new thing. Now, God wants to do a new thing in your life. I love what Max Lucado said. He said, God loves you just the way you are. But He loves you too much to allow you to stay there. Some of you, your life is a big mess today and you know it. God loves you just the way you are. Some of you are rebellious. He loves you just the way you are. Some of you are sinners on top of sinners. He loves you just the way you are. But He loves you too much to allow you to stay there. Are you willing to make that move outside of your comfort zone to what God has? And move it outside to be all that He wants to do. He goes on to say, I'm doing a new thing. Now it will spring up. What's springing up around here? One thing, Timothy mentioned a moment ago, are small groups. We are going to study the book of Colossians, and that's going to be the messages on weekend. I'll be preaching some of those. Timothy will be preaching some of them. And then all of our small groups will be studying that also of how do we drill down and apply that. We're going to spend about 10, 12 weeks on that together. And we're wanting every single one of you to be a part of a new thing. Now, many of you have not been a part of a group, and that can be kind of scary, I realize. But you saw some of what that does in people's lives. We want, I know you'll hear such fantastic preaching in here. But I cannot get done what needs to be done in your life. You grow through community. You grow through community of having that group, and you share life together, and you study together, and you challenge one another. You support one another, and we want every single one of you to be in some kind of group. And so that's a new thing for many of you. It'll be springing up. Another thing is discover your design that we mentioned a while ago. Some of you have never served. Some of you got served one time and maybe it didn't fit you or got hurt at serving and said, never again, never again. You know, Charlene, we were at a Mexican restaurant just a couple of weeks ago. And as we walked out, saw some people that we knew. And Charlene was talking to the wife for a moment. And we got talking about church. And she said, never again. Never again. I will never serve again. They've been deeply hurt. Maybe that's you. See, old Vernon, I tried that serving business. It didn't work for me. Maybe you were not plugged in where God designed you. You know, it's very difficult for a hand to be plugged in where the foot is and make it very long. We want to help you get plugged in the way that God has designed you, and He's designed every one of you in a unique way, in a way that you can serve. Now, that may take some time, but we have this course called Discover Your Design, and it'll help you know how God designed you and then how to get plugged in around here. What else is springing up around here? Well, over 1,000 shoeboxes are going to be springing up around here. Let me just tell you a little bit more about that. We'll be packing well over 1,000 boxes again this year. It's shoeboxes that we put things in for kids, but it's a lot more than that. The shoeboxes that we're packing is different than most any other churches. The shoeboxes that we're packing will go to places you could not go as a Christian with the gospel. You could not go. It will go to a lot of places that have never heard about Jesus. When it gets to its location, it will be opened up and the gospel will be placed in it. We couldn't send it that way at first. It has to wait till it gets to its destination. On October the 1st, that's on a Saturday night, we'll have one of those recipients here. I want you to hear their story. How they received a box and the gospel changed their life. Just think about this for a moment, of this springing up. 1,300 families. And you multiply that by how many people is in the family. We'll be able to touch over 1,300 people, 1,300 families with the gospel that will change their life. God still delivers people out of the wilderness. And believe me, a lot of them are living in the wilderness. Next week, we'll begin to show you the articles that we still need for you to bring. And so we're going to expect you to do all kinds of shopping to bring those. City Union Mission, we've been doing that for some time, but man, it is expanding. We have a tremendous team that goes on Saturday mornings to serve down at City Union, and we're expanding that. We're going to serve more than just Saturday morning, and we're working now with youth, and we're doing tutoring down there, and that's going to be expand. Many of you, that could be the place that you could serve and do it so very well. We're also going to be expanding our ministry to Lansing Prison. We have a team that go out there, and we'd love for you to join them if you could get cleared to go in. And some of you, that may be debatable. But anyway, and some of you, if you don't behave, we'll just leave you out there. But anyway, how many of you have ever been to prison? Now, I don't mean as an inmate. I mean as you've served in a prison. Okay, not very many of you. So a lot of you. Do you know that, remember Jesus said, take care of the poor and go to those in prison. Why would we not do that? Jesus, that's a beckoning command for us. And let me tell you, there's a lot of life change takes place in prison. Some of them have come to the end of the road and their way hasn't worked out. And there is legitimate, authentic transformation of the gospel in their lives. We have Awana starting this week, and we tripled at Awana last year. Let's triple again. Are you ready for that? Now, if we triple in kids, guess what else we're going to need to triple in? Okay, you ready to serve? That might be the place for you. If you can't, it's some of the places just sitting and listen to kids. recite their verses. Who knows? You might memorize them by just listening to them. And it'll be good for you to do that. We actually have a baptistry here. Yeah, we don't have to go to the YMCA now. And unless we want to, we can do that. There are a number of you here that have never been immersed in baptism. I'll tell you, it'll bless you. Some of you have not yet crossed the line of faith, and baptism won't do a thing for you but get you wet unless you've made a commitment to Christ. But after you make a commitment to Christ, then we want to see you baptized. And there are a number of you that say, I'm a follower of Jesus, but you've never been baptized. I'm just telling you, it will be a blessing. God asked us to do that. It's a way to demonstrate your faith, and you've never had that opportunity yet. We're going to give you that opportunity, and we're going to encourage you to do that. And I wonder how many that we have ready to do that. One other opportunity that God is doing is to reach out. You know, I challenge you on this over and over and over. Here's all that I'm asking for you to do is I want you, and we've got cards, we'll hand those out later. All I want you to do at this point is write down three names of people that are not in church and start praying for them every day. Is that asking too much? Can you do that? Three names. And you start praying for them every single day. And we'll see what God does. Now, I'll have a prayer guide on our web that will help you know how to pray for unchurched people. It'll just be examples of that. And you start praying for them and watch for open doors. You want to become their friend. You want to care for them. You want to show them they're very important in your life. Don't just go zap them with something. Care for them. Pray for them. And watch for God to open doors that you can invite them to come and say, we've got a new thing going on at Briar Cliff. Would you just come and see a new thing, and come and see what God would do? And there'll be a lot of people that'll do that. And that's the new thing that we're going to be doing. It's springing up. He goes on in verse 19. Here, watch this. He said, do you not perceive it? You could miss it. He said, can you see it? Can you see it? It's very easy. You never drift into God's vision. You never drift there. That's a very intentional step of that vision that he has for you. But I want to tell you this about the vision. Just about every God-ordained vision seems impossible at first. It seems impossible. It's too big to handle. And if you don't have a vision for your life that's bigger than you, you don't have a vision big enough. If this church does not have a vision bigger than we are, our vision is not big enough. If we can accomplish it, we don't need God. And a lot of churches, I've been in a lot of churches and say, well, you don't need God to get done what you're doing around here. We want to be in a position that if God doesn't come through with his vision, we're out of business. So the vision that he gives us, and I've noticed in Isaiah when I read through this before the verses tonight, many times he said, do not fear. Because I'm telling you, there's a fear factor that if you don't watch out. And this God-sized vision that's bigger than we are. I had a staff member one time to tell me that a real component of a good leader is the ability to hide panic. I have the ability to hide panic. You know, I will face fear. How in the world? And then I'd say, okay. How in the world we get this done? God, that crossed with the Dead Sea, those people. The God that opened that up is our God today. The God that took them through the wilderness is a God today. Why should we worry? That God, the God that is opening these doors and wanting to make a way for us. Here's what I've been tempted to do a lot of times. I come up with a vision and then ask God for help to bless it. That has never worked out very well. We are not Apple or Microsoft. We're not in Silicon Valley. They have great visions. Our vision is much different. Our vision is something that comes from God. And it's bigger than we are, but not bigger than He is. And there's a vision. See, we've got open seats here. You know where they are? You know what those are for? The people yet to come. And some of you, you're new here, and you came in this morning trying to carve out your territory. Guess what? Next week, somebody else is going to go for that territory of yours. Yeah. One of my prayers is that you'd have a hard time finding a parking spot. Did God answer my prayer this morning? Any of you have a parking? I'm so very grateful. Now, I don't know how we're going to solve that either, but we're going to. Because the vision that He has for us is always going to stretch us out there. And He says here, last of all, I'm making a way in the desert. There's a lot of people that live in the desert. Think with me for just a moment. We've got a demographic study of this area, and we know that there are at least 76,000 people within just a 5-mile radius of this church that never attend church. 76,000. What is 1% of 76,000? Okay, everybody else flunked math, I guess. But anyway, 760. How are we going to get them in here? I don't know, but God will make a way. Because those people out there, I wonder a lot of times, I wonder how many people within just a 5-mile radius of this church went to bed last night and said, I wonder if there's a better way. I wonder if there's a better way. Life's got to be better than this. You've heard me say it over and over again. Following Jesus is the best way to live and the only way to die. How's your way going? Some of you say, no problem, I'm going great. One more question. How will it go when you die? How will it go? If you're banking on being good to be good enough, you'll never make it. Only by the grace of God to forgive you of your sins will you make it. His way has been made for you. I'll make a way. Some of you don't even realize the wilderness that you're in. But it's a deadly one. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is what? Tell me. Death. Death. How's your way going? Is it going all right? Even more importantly, how will it go when you die? I will follow Jesus. We're going to sing that in a moment. I've decided to follow Jesus because He's the best way to live. Following Him is the best way to live. And some of you are not following Him. Just going to church doesn't mean necessarily you're following Him. I went to church a long time, but I wasn't following Christ. I had my own deal going. Are you willing to follow Him? Let go of the former life and follow Him. Following Jesus, I assure you, is the best way to live. But I guarantee you, it's the only way to die. Jesus is the only one that came up out of the grave to offer you eternal life. No one. Show me somebody that is raised from the grave never to die again. Where will you find that person? Jesus is the only one that has the way. Will you follow Him? Let me pray with you. Father, I am just absolutely thrilled to see the glory of God in this place. Our heart's desire is to see your glory demonstrate from this place and lives changed. I know that we have the right vision as long as it's a vision that glorifies you and brings people to genuine life change, transformed. That's the vision we want. There are some here today that because they've joined a church or something, they think they're following you. They're not following you until they let go of that old life and surrender. Surrender totally to you, to follow you every single day. Some have never put their faith in you. And I'm praying this morning they'd say, okay, God, it's time for me to turn my life over to you. I repent. I trust you. I want you to come in and be my Savior. I have decided to follow Jesus.